Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
One time I got almost got arrested. A cop pulls up and I'm having sex in the back of my car a couple years ago. He knocks on the window, I answer, and he asked me to step out of the vehicle and I get out, and I didn't have any time to react, so I just grabbed a shirt and put it over me like that would help at all. And I get out of the car and he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, sorry, yeah, I'm having sex. And then he's like, no, that's not a problem. You guys, aren't doing anything else. There's nothing else going on. Looked inside the car. Are you okay? And he was like, you know what? Go ahead, finish up. You guys aren't harming anybody. I was just making sure you guys weren't doing anything too bad. He's like, just, get out of here within the next half hour. And I was like, thank you. No blue balls.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by the Queen of England. What the fuck is going on? I got nothing. I'm like completely thrown here. Something is happening to the tablet is intermittently cutting in and out of playing the theme song. Great. That's wonderful. That's excellent. Just completely ruined a whole fucking opening of a show. Whatever. We don't give a shit. Whatever. It's Easter, everyone. Yeah. Maybe the sound card will rise from the dead. Anyway. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer and I'm joined from the non-fucked up tablet state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. How are you? Because I'm pissed off.
Now I'm completely thrown and pissed off, well, and so it's just like, might as well.
You can do the beginning over again if you want to do that.
I can't guarantee you that it's going to like not do it again.
I was curious though. I thought it might, because when you first started the previously on, which I assume you did.
I did.
The previously on DI Plus.
I did, and you couldn't hear it.
I wasn't hearing anything.
Right. You couldn't
but
hear
I didn't
it.
Want to say anything because I didn't want to like, you go, Adam, you just talked over the previously. I'm like,
right,
surely
no.
He hasn't.
No, here's the thing. All right. So I use the same setup for podcasting and for playing World of Warcraft and all other things that I do. And so the difference is that you're on the channel that hears, like, when I'm podcasting, I put that channel through so that you can hear what I'm doing. But if I'm playing World of Warcraft, that's the channel that the game sounds are on. And I don't want that to be going through to the people that I'm talking to because they have their own game sounds going. And so I believe, now someone correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the chat room could hear it. So I believe because the main channel is what I use to record off of. So I believe that the chat room could hear it. It was just you that couldn't.
Well, anyway, I didn't want to screw anything up. So I just sat here quietly because I thought eventually I'll hear him talking at least, even if I don't hear any of the other music. So...
Right, and we have a thing here, Toppy Smelly in the chat room, which, by the way, I'm a little spoiler alert, there's people in the chat room, but he says, I seem to remember a time when Dubious Intent Plus did a poll to determine the title. The website that we use to do the polls, which is called Straw Poll, seems to be down tonight. Now it's back up. But it was down at the beginning of the show, so we couldn't do a poll, so I apologize for that. But Adam, you know what? It is 9, I'm going to cough again.
It is 9:11 p.m. in the evening, which can only mean one thing.
On a Sunday. You forgot that you always forget the
Sunday. On a Sunday.
Yes. Because it's not like 9:11 every night. It's just 9:11 on a Sunday. And that can, of course, mean only one thing. We're streaming live on pride48.com in front of the world's greatest chat room. Adam, who is joining us this evening?
Well, Kathy Bacon was here, but she was just here to say hello. And then she went to watch TV with Gerald, so which I believe is her husband or... her boy of the night.
I think it's
of the evening.
It's a gentleman caller.
Then we have Auntie Vera Charles.
He must not be working on Tuesday.
Maybe not. We have, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'm going to, there's this, is it German or some other language where when it's EI, it's like whichever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say Seishin 17.
See, I would have gone with Seishin, but okay.
Sation.
So I was right. See, he spelled it phonetically Sation.
Sation. Okay. Sation. Well, there's a language out there where if it's EI, it's I, and if it's IE, it's E. Anyway, I don't know. I don't remember which language. Anyway, Tim in Alaska and Toppy Smelly.
Yes.
And Mags is here as well.
Excellent.
So I do also know. We got a tweet or a like of our tweet from Carrie, but we know she can't be here on Sunday evenings.
No, God does not permit it. Yes.
We're all keeping Carrie in our thoughts and prayers this evening.
We are? Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. I don't know where this cough has come from. It has just like suddenly come up on me in the last few minutes. I don't know. We talked about a little bit of this in pre-show, but you'll see that the lighting here in the studio much better because you gave me new lights for my birthday. So I did. They have arrived. I have set the lights up here in the studio, so I actually have proper 3-point lighting set up here. I have a key light, I have a headlight, and then I have the two that were previous me light is now being the ambient or the fill lights. So there you go.
I need to do some kind of if I'm using a cheap work light because it's the most, it's easy to just clamp it somewhere and not have this huge, you know, lighting tripods all over the place in this room. So I should at least get my softbox, which is the white diffuser,
yes,
fabric, and just kind of throw it over it so I get a little diffused. Because I know these people.
Right, yes.
Well, because, you know, you want your light to be diffuse.
Right. Well, it's amazing the fact that, you know, we're putting all this work into the video that no one sees except us. So,
it's true.
Right. Basically, it's Adam, true. I'm just making myself well lit just for you.
But as we know, I don't look at you when we're recording. I look at myself. Yes, so right, I like to see, you know, that's actually not true. I am looking at you right now. Yeah. But there, sometimes when I'm concerned with what I look like, I maximize my face and I'm like, you know, seeing what my cutest angle is and all of that stuff. Anyway.
I don't know. You know what? I mean, we have new lights here. Should I just go ahead and do this? I should just go ahead and start.
You can. Look, I was never the one.
No. But here's the thing. All right, I'm going to post a link in the chat room. So if you want to see our video, I'm going to post a link in the chat room.
And I just want to warn the chat room that over the years, I have gotten old and fat. So I apologize. For those of you who saw me like 2 or 3 years ago and I looked really cute, maybe you thought I looked cute, maybe you didn't. But if you thought I looked cute, I apologize that I have just let myself go. But anyway.
I know. You know, but I just want to say this, and we might as well talk about it. We have nothing else on the Trello. Here's the thing is I didn't have a problem with us putting out the video. I didn't have a problem with people watching the video while we were doing it. That was never the issue. The issue was that we started talking about things on video. And that was the thing that I said, as soon as we start doing that, we got to stop because we're talking about, oh, look at this. Hey, you like that? Or, you know, it's like, and it's like the majority of the people are still downloading an audio podcast. And it's like, if we are going to do a video podcast, then we should just do a video podcast, right? And which means we have to do completely different mic setups, completely different lighting setups and everything like that, as opposed to, you know, we are mic'd and set for audio. So,
yeah, video is a pain in the butt. I would love to do, as I have said multiple times, I have all these grandiose ideas of this wonderful, you know, YouTube show, video, whatever that I would do. And then it comes down to the work and I'm like,
it is a lot of
so much work. And you got to edit and all this kind of stuff. I mean, like video editing, you think audio editing takes a long time?
No, I know.
Video editing.
And look, Nico has joined us in the chat room. Excellent. All right. So, you know, we had a great week this week. I got to leave work. All right. So, prior to this year, we had 8 recognized holidays at our company.
Okay. We have like 4.
Right. So we had 8 recognized holidays and Good Friday was one of them. However, in order to stand, as we bought more hospitals, we had to standardize our PTO across all the properties. And so last year we dropped down to 7 recognized holidays. And you still get to keep the same number of PTO days. You still, you know, there was no change to the number of hours you got off. It was just that one of the recognized holidays that you were required to take off was no longer required. And that one was Good Friday. So I don't know why I went up suddenly. Good Friday. So Good Friday was the optional holiday. So if you wanted to take it off, you still could. You had the PTO time available. You could take it off. But you didn't have to take it off as a holiday anymore. And so this is the first year that it happened. There was hardly anyone there. It was like there was hardly anyone there, and they actually ended up sending us home early that day. So,
you know, that's funny because you live in like the atheist state of Connecticut or something. I think that's like their mascot or their motto. You know,
really? And now you're going to cast aspersions upon Connecticut. You know, we have a lot of churches up here.
Why would that be casting? We can't talk. Neither one of us. I'm casting aspersions in your work or whatever you said. It's not casting aspersions because you think it's wonderful to be an atheist. So I'm actually, you know, complimenting everyone. They're all.
But I'm just saying that anyway. It's not like this is a bastion of atheism up here. If anything, it's a bastion of Judaism up here. We have a lot of what do they call them? The
Jews?
No.
Christians?
It's not a mosque. What do they call their temple? Is it a temple?
Temple, synagogue.
Okay. A synagogue. Yes, that's what I'm. That was the word I was looking for. A synagogue.
Well, you know. Well, today is Easter.
You know that guarantees to be made into the clip for the next show.
You know,
What do you call them? Jews.
you know, Jews don't. But okay, that they are Jews, Jewish. Well, that's what they go by. That is not a. I know you're trying to make it out like it's a slur.
No, I'm not. Adam. I recognize that we've had this conversation before. I recognize that you were not a racist. However, the term Jews is a derogatory term. What you're speaking of, it is a derogatory term, whether you want to believe it or not.
If my sister, no, my, what is she? My cousin would refer to herself as a Jew or Jewish.
Here's a newsflash. Jewish people are allowed to refer to themselves as a Jew.
Oh my God. So I'm white. I can't call it. Anyway. So,
oh, no, yes, Adam, you were so oppressed as a white man. You were so oppressed. It's like gays being, gays are allowed to use the word fag. Gays are allowed to use the word sissy or girl or call each other girls. It's like, I'm sorry, but they, in certain minorities, they're just, I realize that you are not racist. However, when you say, why do people think I'm racist? It's because you use terms like that.
I'm sorry to all of our Jewish brethren and sisteren out there. Where I am going to have to ask people because I did not think the word Jew was derogatory. I honestly, and Toppy Smelly didn't know that either. So I've heard so many people. Of course, you know, I live in a place where an hour and a half from me, there's a billboard that says White Pride Radio. So I, you know, whatever. take what I say for. But all of this, look, all of this, we went way.
Newsflash. White Pride Radio is racist. Just in case you want to know.
We went way kind of askew from what I was. All I was trying to say is I live in the Bible Belt. And you live in the non-Bible Belt.
I live more in the Bible Fascinator, like up at the top. Like if you're in the belt zone of the Bible, then I'm kind of like, you know, up near the tassel. We're like the Bible tassel.
Okay. what's it called? What's the thing that covers the
Jews?
No, the Bible. The
pasties. Yes,
I pasties. That, yes. Yes. Sorry, yes. Anyway, it's ironic because we don't get. Good Friday off. Like, I don't know any of the businesses around here that got Good Friday off, and yet you did. Anyway, it's just,
Not only did I got sent home early. I didn't take it off. But the thing is that I was, and this is, I don't know, maybe I'll edit this out or not, but I had my papers ready to go down to the courthouse Friday to file for my divorce, and the courthouse is closed on Friday, so I have to wait until Monday to do that. So there you go.
How dare they?
I know. So.
Well, nothing has happened to me. Like, nothing. You know, do you ever feel... Like, as a podcaster, you need your life to be interesting. Like, I need to do things so that I have stuff to come. You know, the listeners expect a certain level of excitement and interest when they turn on our podcast. You know,
if they were expecting excitement and interest, they would turn on a different podcast. Just here to hear us.
I personally, the podcast that I listen to, my favorite part is always the part where they talk about their week or their day or whatever. Because I like, you know, I feel like I'm like their friend, you know, I'm part of the community, you know, and they tell little anecdotes and little funny stories that happen to them during the week. Any podcast I listen to. So I feel like, you know, I need to have something interesting happen to me. So much so that I have done things before
just
because I needed content for the show. but nothing happened this week. So I'm going back a couple of weeks back. Someone mentioned that this might be an important thing to bring up. So I'm going to, you know, we're not going to get all serious or anything like that. But I'm just going to mention something. I think some of you people will be interested in this.
Some of you people.
Some listeners.
I think you're doing this a disservice. So anyone that has listened to our show for any extended period of time knows that Adam has for whatever reason, Adam is not out to his family. He's not, they may know, they may not know, we don't know, but he's never actually had that conversation with his family. Is that a correct statement to say?
That is a correct statement, yes.
And a status change of that happened a couple of weeks ago, so go ahead.
Yeah.
And well, I'm just saying, I think a lot of people do care about this, Adam, because it's not just you that's not out to your family. There's maybe a lot of people listening that aren't out to their family.
Right. Well, that's even a misclassification, because I think a lot of people are in that position where their parents know, but like they leave it like not discussed, or they may still even lie or like hide things, even though it's obvious that they're, you know, that their parents have to know. And I won't go into my whole life story, but there are reasons that my parents knew that I was gay. Like, we'd covered all this, but I had, you know, I'd gone to the you know, the typical thing that you do when you're a guilty gay Christian, you know, and you go to this, it's not a cult, but you go to this, you know, thing, and you try to learn how to not be gay. This was a long time ago. This was like when I was 18. But anyway, and I came back from that, and, you know, from then on, we just left it as don't ask, don't tell, I guess. I mean, you know, they knew that I wasn't attracted to women, but I, you know, all my boyfriends were friends, you know, and whatever. So a couple of weeks ago, oh my God, really?
What?
Seriously, I have to have background music for that.
It's a very touching story.
So a couple of weeks ago, I was having a relatively emotional conversation with my mom, and she just comes out, and I was in a vulnerable state, you know.
The state of Arkansas.
I mean, right. You know, I was very vulnerable and, like, you know, whatever. And so my mom just blurts out, is Mark your partner? Well, I was in this vulnerable, you know, she picked, like, you know, this moment when I was in the throes of agony about something we were talking about, you know. And I was, she caught me off guard completely. And I felt like I was quiet for so long that I couldn't back out of it at that point, because I was just shocked, right, you know, that she asked that question. So I said yes. And so a lot of stuff ensued after that. So I won't go into a lot of detail, but I will say, and you know,
well, I mean, you don't have to go into extreme detail, but it was a good experience. It wasn't a bad experience, right?
See, that's
you were not disowned, yes, as a child.
I was not disowned.
Forbade you forever coming into our house again or whatever.
There was an awkward situation where my parents came over, and Mark was here.
Yes,
and they wanted to discuss the elephant in the room.
Oh, wait. So which one of you is the girl? Was that the elephant in the room?
No. Just the fact that we're partners and everything, you know. And then when they left, you know, and it was very sweet of them, because they were like, you know, they don't agree. I mean, they're not accepting of our quote lifestyle. But and I used air quotes there. But they were really sweet. You know, they said we still love Adam. We still are getting to know and love Mark. You know, we know that you both go to church and have a relationship with God. I know you're an atheist, but anyway, Daniel, I'm saying. So, you know, they said all that, but they were trying to be sweet in their way. The awkward bit was when they wanted to have a close with a word of prayer before they went home. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, not that I don't pray, but, you know, they were praying for us, and I don't know, it was weird. Now it's kind of awkward. It's not as bad as what I thought it would be, but I think it's just weird for me knowing that they know. Like, it's all, the cards are all out there on the table. Like, I, you know, there's nothing to hide behind now.
Right.
So, you know, I, but yes, overall, there are people that their parents said, you're not my son anymore, you know, or I never want to speak to you again, get out, or, you know, hung up on them, or, you know, if they lived with their parents, kicked them out, you know, never saw them again. I am not going through that experience. So in that way, it's good, but it's very awkward right now.
It's a very awkward moment. It's a very awkward
time. Yeah, I went over for lunch today, mm-hmm, and it was awkward for me because they wanted to discuss this Religious Freedom Act.
Yes.
And
you asked that like as a question. Religious Freedom
Act?
Well,
I think that's what it's called.
Is that a thing? Is that a...
Right.
Is that something? Are these just made up words that they may be strung together? Was there something called the Religious Freedom Act?
Yeah, they wanted to discuss that. And I just think those kind of topics, you know, knowing that we're going to be kind of opposed in our opinion, or I'm going to differ in my opinion, you know, than them, that would just not be a thing you would bring up and want to have a discussion with me about. So that was a little awkward.
But I mean, it's on the news. It's on the news. Yeah. And it's something that they want. And I think a lot of this, you know, whatever, shock that we don't get the nuance of things, right? Is there was this pizza place over there that said that they weren't going to cater. They wouldn't cater a gay wedding, which I don't understand even what that means, because I don't know if were there a lot of people lining up to cater their wedding, because they like went out of their way to say, oh no, we'd serve gay people and we're happy to serve them, but I don't think I would cater their wedding. It's like, you're a pizza place. I don't think you get a lot of business catering weddings, but whatever. And then there was a GoFundMe page that was started for them. And I think this is the nuance that a lot of people miss. The pizza place did not set up this GoFundMe page. The pizza place actually, they did that George Zimmer thing where they were just like, we're scared of our lives because someone said something bad about it. Someone disagreed with us. So we're going to go hide in a hole. It was the Dana Loesch radio show that had, or TV or YouTube show that had done an interview with them. And it was one of the associate producers on that show that had set up the GoFundMe page. If you read the description on the GoFundMe page, it actually says, you know, I'm a producer for the Dana Loesch show, and any money that's raised here, I will give to the people that own this pizza place. It's gone up to some astronomical amount at this point in time, like nearly almost $1 million that has been raised.
Wow, just to cater their wedding?
No. $1 million because of the loss that they were going to have, because they have to hide for their lives now because the gays are mad at them. And it's all just kind of... I mean, this is, you know, welcome to the viral internet, people. I mean, that's just like what it is. But I just wanted to point out, it's not the pizza place that is doing this. It's right-wing radio that is behind this, whether you care to or not. It's right there in the description. Read it. It's right-wing radio. This is what they do.
And we're going to, I have a story about it in the news story section, so we can talk a little bit more about it.
Well, then we can talk about that. You know, now I, unlike you, Adam, I did have some stuff happen. On Friday, I came home early because I was released early. So I came home early and I was sitting.
You were, I don't know. That sounds so funny. I was released early. They let me out of my cage early.
Let me out of my cage early. So I oh, hold on one moment. Let me just grab this call real quick. Yes. Hello. So, wait, why won't it let me play it? Oh, there it goes. Yes. Hello.
Yeah. Hi guys. Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Zone. Apparently Little Priest dead at 24. I had no idea who he is. I think he was one wonder from England or something in 2000 and something. But, you know, his Google alert is spamming me.
Okay. I like the fact that Adam put this in as unknown. Did you not?
I could not understand. I listened to it like five times.
This is an Australian interpretation of a rap name. So the rapper that died's name was Lil Chris. L-I-L, Chris. Lil Chris. That was an Australian saying, yeah, Chris. Let's listen to this again. I think you'll catch it here. It's on the second time around.
Yeah, hi guys. Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Zone. Apparently, Lil Chris dead at 24.
Lil Chris.
Now I hear it. It's like he said Lil Chris.
Right.
Like, not Lil Chris.
Yeah. You would have expected him to have said, you know, like Little Chris or something.
Yeah, something.
Like 50 Cent or whatever, instead of saying 50 Cent. Yeah.
We already had a call for that one anyway.
So for who? Because I don't
for
see
that
it on,
person, little Chris.
I don't see it on the. Oh, was it last week?
Last week, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mm. Sorry, RT Cruiser. The fact that you Adam just couldn't understand you.
Now I have to. I do have to say this. I don't know which one came in first now because I honestly didn't understand RT Cruiser. So
it's not like RT Cruiser is lacking entries into the contest. Let's just go there. All right. So here's what happened to me. I was released early. I came home. It was Friday afternoon, about 1 o'clock. I was at home. I was catching up on some TV, sitting on my couch, catching up on some TV. And suddenly there is a pounding on the door, like pounding on my door. I mean, like, you know, not just a pleasant knock or anything. It was like, bam, 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 right? And so I run over to the door. I open it. And it's the maintenance guy who's like, there's a flood downstairs. We need to look at your hot water heater. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And he comes running through and there's a closet or a maintenance closet out on my patio that has the hot water heater in it. And so he went out there and opened that up and everything. And so apparently my hot water heater had sprung a leak and had caused a flood downstairs. So he was like, okay, well, I'm going to shut off
the water.
Good
thing you were home.
I know. Well, I mean, they have keys to get in.
No, that's true.
But I was just like, okay, well, all right. So, okay, well, so I'm going to shut off your water and then, we're going to take this out and then we're going to bring in a new hot water heater for you. And then the plumber will come in and install it today. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, that's fine. So when are you going to shut off the water? oh, we've already shut it off. Now, I would just like to point out, normally I eat lunch somewhere else, but because we were released early, I was eating lunch at home and I was eating Boston Market chicken. So I had like chicken stuff on my fingers, and it was the one time that I really wanted to wash my hands. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, I really need to wash my hands, and you've like now shut the water off in my apartment. So it's like, I had like the nasty chicken hands, you know what I'm saying? And it was, there's no running water in my house for like an hour and a half. I mean, it's like, I would have, you know, maybe I can go get like a big tub of water before you shut it off.
Well, maybe they just assumed, you know, that because that's a little bit of an emergency, right? I mean, if you're hot, what was wrong with your hot water
heater? It sprung a leak.
Yeah, a leak is an emergency. So I think they would have to shut the water off like immediately.
Well, I'm saying, I don't know, you could shut the water off when they're there, right? It's like the cold water. There's no problem with the cold water. But anyway, it doesn't matter. There was still enough left in the line that I could like get a little bit of water out of the bathroom sink and I could wash my hands and it was okay. I survived. But so I sat there,
well,
I watched.
Thank God, Daniel, that you survived.
I did survive.
You know.
I did survive.
How do people survive?
I used the Dr. Wesley Pythagoras survival tips of using the restroom, which is basically if there's water in the toilet, it will still flush. So yes, I was able to use the toilet. Just in case you're curious, it did flush.
Apparently if you pour a bucket of water into a toilet, you can make it flush.
Well,
someone told me this.
Anyway, so the maintenance people came in and they brought in a new hot water heater. And then, as promised, the plumber showed up. And I gotta say this. Two of the plumbers, there's three of them. Two of the plumbers were really hot. I mean, like really hot. And it's like, so they're watching TV and like they're right outside my sliding glass door on the balcony. I keep looking over. Like, should I like maybe I should meerkat this or periscope it or something? Should I like show people the hot plumbers in my house? But I didn't.
Were they showing their butt cracks or anything?
No, but I wouldn't. That would have been okay. That would have been absolutely fine. But now here's the problem. There's now a dead hot water heater sitting out on my patio. So on my balcony now, there's a dead hot water heater that the plumbers removed from the place and put it there. And they said, oh, maintenance will come back later and get it. Maintenance has never shown up. So there's like,
well,
just
that's
this,
a nice look.
I know.
You know what they would do around here is they would like cut it in half or like take the top off of it, put some potting soil in there and plant, you know, make a planter out of it. That's very common. Around.
I am on the second floor and facing the woods. I could just tip it over and let it roll off into the woods. That would be, you know, that would be fine. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, you
today,
should.
Today was almost, well, not today, yesterday was almost 60 degrees. So it was a nice weekend. I could have been enjoying my patio.
Oh my God, this weekend has been rainy. I hate rain. I'm ready for it to be sunny.
Okay, you're completely locked up now. I tried to be quiet, thinking that maybe something would happen. Maybe you would come back really quick and then we could.
I don't know.
Now you're back. No, now you're not back. Are you back? Nod your head. Are you back or are you not back? No, you're not. It's just a little still image of you there. Just a little still fuzzy image of you there. This is great. I tell you, the Arkansas internet is amazing.
Well, you've been freezing up for me all show. I just have been. It's luckily you talk long enough that I. the moment I started talking, are you hearing me now?
I am hearing you now, Adam. Yes.
So I don't know what I was saying. Oh yeah. So I'm saying so a lot. We're going to LA. In like 3 weeks?
Yes.
Something like that. And we have the trip all planned. I don't know if anyone, well, sort of. There was a little bit of drama because Joe Batanz thought, so I was going out there just to see Joe Batanz, really.
Going to go to LA just to see Joe Batanz.
Joe Batanz and the taco tour because that.
Now, Joe Batanz, I think, popped into the chat room for a moment and then left.
Yeah, he did.
But I'm just saying, he said something about being here for the after show. So maybe you could. So has it gotten resolved? Are you going? You know, there's other people that live in LA that you could go and see. That I mean, Nico lives in LA. Maybe you could go and see Nico. I'm sure he wouldn't like stand you up.
Yeah, it is resolved now. But Joe was doing a little streaming thing, which I'm probably not supposed to mention. But we'll just say he was periscoping the other day, and as he does occasionally. And he brought up the fact that he had tried to plan with me and that I had acted uninterested or something. I'm not sure. You know, I wasn't as pro hanging out as he would have liked me to be. I'm not sure. Anyway, so he goes, oh, you know, that's fine because that'll be much easier for me anyway. I'll just hang out with them on Thursday And then they can do whatever the heck they want to do for the rest of the time they're in LA, right?
Yes.
But I was planning on us hanging out pretty much every day, not the whole day. What I had said was, I did not... Oh, dang it.
Hold on. Just one second. Hold on.
Yeah, hi, guys. Artie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Choreographer Ray Arnett, dead at 97. He was actually the choreographer for Liberace for 30 years. Sounds like a pretty easy job because, you know, all he ever did was glance around in mink coats. Okay, bye.
There you go. The choreographer for Liberace, dead.
Yes. His name was Liberace's choreographer.
Excellent. Well, Ray Arnett, I believe, was the
Ray Arnett. Yeah, that was who it was.
All right. So I'm sorry, Adam. You were telling us your story.
Yeah. So how dare Artie Cruiser? So anyway, there was some misunderstanding. I made a comment because look, I understand that if I'm going to see someone or going to a place. And there's a little bit of an expectation that someone is going to be a bit of a tour guide because Joe likes to take people around and show them around, and B, he's lived there, I'm assuming, all of his life, if not most of his life.
I think so, as soon as he came over from Mexico illegally, and then right. He's been there since then. So he's been there since his crossing.
He swam over. And anyway, so, you know, but when you're going and you have that sort of expectation, you don't want that person to feel like that they have to be with you every second. Like you're just using them to be, you know, to be a tour guide.
Right.
And you don't want them to feel like, because he's a busy guy. He has a lot to do. So I made a comment.
Wait, have you met Joe Batance?
He has lots of lunches. He has lots
he
of
wakes
important
up,
business
he does.
Lunches.
He gets up. I'll give him this. He wakes up at the ass crack of dawn because it's like 10 a.m. Eastern time and he's like saying stuff. And it's like, so I'm like, it's 7 o'clock in your time. What are you doing up so fucking early? But he's like, yeah, he like gets up. He goes to the gym 6 or 7 times. He like,
he does.
He eats 2 or 3 meals. He makes sandwiches. And then he like rolls around. Yeah, I don't know. He has a very leisure life. A very leisurely life.
Well,
he and Vera Charles should like write a book about, you know,
yeah,
lazing the day away.
It may be that what he does is so top secret that he can't tell us most of it. And so, you know, he just pretends that he's not doing anything all day long. But anyway, so I made the comment, Joe, don't feel like you have to hang out with us the entire day every day. Because, you know, I didn't want him to feel like he had to be like strapped to our hip, but that's all I said. Like, so then he had assumed that by that comment, I meant we really don't want to hang out with you a lot, Joe. We would like our alone time. And that is not what I meant at all. Anyway, we worked it all out. It's fine. He says I have to be more direct with him, but I thought that was direct. I thought me saying you don't have to spend all day with us
Have you not met these LA people? They need constant reassurance that you know what I'm saying? It's like, I agree with you. You are the greatest. You are ahead.
Well,
I cannot wait to see you.
I love Joe Batance. Love him. I just didn't want him to feel pressured. Anyway,
no, I'm the exact opposite. I mean, because when I'm going out there for BlizzCon, I've actually already told Batance, no, I'm staying with you for like 3 nights. So it's like, I'm staying, was going to stay with Vera and Gooch for 2 nights, but now I guess I'm not welcome there, so I have to pitch like a tent out in their front yard. So it's like I'm taking a little pup tent. I'll be pitching it in their front yard. I'll be camping out there. I'll be periscoping that. I'll be periscoping and meerkatting any live video. I'll be doing it right out there from the protest or in front of the Vera Charles mansion. I will be doing that for 2 days.
From now on, I'm just going to tell Joe how it is. Joe, we will be there for 4 days. You will be with us for at least one event each of those days, totaling at least 3 to 4 hours. I will send him a notarized contract.
Wow.
So just for anyone who's interested, Thursday is a very busy day.
Very busy.
We're going to do a taco tour or Filipino food. Not sure which yet. We're going to do a little touristy stuff around, and then we're going to go see Jimmy Kimmel, because we want to see a Hollywood show be filmed, you know?
Right.
Actually, I'm really excited about that. We don't watch Jimmy Kimmel, but I love the process of like seeing something being filmed. And Mark, he's all about, oh, I bet not many Filipinos have been to see a real Hollywood show being filmed. So he's really excited about that, right?
Do they not let them in or something? Why would they?
It is so funny. We watch Ellen, as you guys know. And once a month, he'll pause Ellen when it's on a shot of the audience. And he'll say, oh my God, that's a Filipino celebrity in the audience of Ellen. I know that person. So apparently all the Filipino celebrities come over to LA and like go see Ellen. I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to do that and we're going to go to the Magic Castle. And then Friday, we're going to go to the beach and we're going to do some First Friday thing, which I think it's a lot of food and like festival type stuff. I don't know exactly what it is, but sounds fun.
It's going to be like a parking lot with some food trucks. Basically.
I don't think there'll be chairs, so no. You probably wouldn't enjoy.
Would not.
We're going to do some nice restaurant, which I don't know if Joe wants to go or not, but we're still going up. We're kind of tossing ideas back and forth for that. He couldn't really find me any Food Network chef restaurants.
Really?
So I might have to go
in
with
LA.
Like,
there's in LA, in all of LA, there's no Food Network chefs.
Maybe he's just hiding them from me.
I think he's pretty much hiding them from you. I'm pretty sure they are there.
And then Saturday we're gonna do Disneyland.
Did you invite Nico?
I haven't invited anyone. Nico
is like the senior vice president of the Magic Kingdom he can get you into stuff. It's like you should get, let me just say this. I rode the Cars ride when there was like no fast passes available and no like, you know, in a 6 hour wait to get in the ride. I rode it because I went in with Nico. We rode it within 30 minutes. We were on the ride and riding it within 30 minutes. That's how powerful Nico Martinez is.
Well, Nico is invited. We just planned this recently, so I haven't had time to really talk to anyone.
All right, fine.
But, I forgot. I think Thursday probably, we're also getting a behind the scenes tour of the Disney studios.
Ooh.
Which I hope they record, like, I don't know,
you know what,
once upon a time or something.
If it's during the recording of one of Vera's shows, maybe. Are you going to be there on Tuesday? Maybe you could go watch Vera work.
No, it's a Thursday.
Because Vera only works on Tuesdays.
And then Sunday is up in the air, but I think we're going to do Sunday night. We're going to go to maybe West Hollywood, even though those people, I think, are really plasticky and full of themselves.
Have you ever been?
Well, that's what I hear.
Oh, okay, that's what you hear. Great.
Anyway, so that's our trip. So we'll I think it will be a smashing, wonderful trip.
Excellent. So here's the thing. We talked about this a bit in pre-show. You and I both listened to a podcast called This Week in Google, which is on the Twit Network. And this past week, there was a discussion that was held about live streaming, because they were talking about Meerkat and Periscope, which are the things that, you know, we briefly touched on in the tech segment last week. These live streaming video things. And that, you know, this is not a new thing, right? We've had live streaming for a long time. Right? So we've had Ustream, and before Ustream, we had, you know, Justin TV. And this is certainly not the first incarnation of these live streaming things. And they had a very interesting discussion about, you know, this being 2015 and what live streaming means. And it was a great conversation. And it kind of veers off topic a little bit, but I've clipped out the 4 minutes of this conversation and I kind of wanted to play it and talk about it, because a lot of this stuff really rings true with me. Because if you remember, Adam, back in the beginning when you and I were doing the live streaming of our shows, like you were doing live streaming of Adam and Maddie's show, and I was doing live streaming of DA Plus, or Dubious Intent at that time, you know, it wasn't, you know, streaming live wasn't the thing that happened, right? It was streaming live wasn't the interesting part. It wasn't until we added in the element of the chat room and the element of actually having a feedback, a two-way conversation with the audience, that was what made it something to do. Otherwise, it was just, you're just listening to a podcast being created. You might as well just wait and download it. And they touch on a lot of that stuff. Is your video frozen or are you just sitting over there?
I'm listening to you. I'm pulling up YouTube, so I'm prepared.
Prepared for what?
When we get to that section.
So you don't even care about this format?
No, I
section.
Do care. I do. I'm listening to you.
Okay.
What I was going to say.
Go ahead.
When you got to a pausing point is that I, you know, I understand, and we do stream live. It's a very small percentage of our listeners that actually, and we love you guys who are in the chat room. So please keep coming. But for me, it is, I don't understand the phenomenon. Especially recently with like people just wanting to watch people like eat breakfast and like, you know, tweeze their nose hairs and like do stuff like that. Unless these are like really lonely people who don't have friends.
No, I don't. And I don't think. So, no. What my point is that incidental live is completely different than scheduled live. And I think that's the point that I inelegantly tried to make about why we don't restream podcasts on our station, like why Pride 48 doesn't replay podcasts and stuff, is because it's kind of like appointment live, which makes no sense, right? These are podcasts that you could download.
Although I think it would be better for us to replay those than music all the time. Since
you and I completely disagree on that, because then it comes into the point of, wait, am I listening to something live, or am I listening to something? If I just tune in midway and I hear talk on Pride 48, I know that it's live. As it stands now, if we were replaying podcasts all the time, then I could tune into Pride 48 and it may take a while before I figure out, oh, wait, this isn't live, or wait, oh, this is live, kind of a thing. And it makes a difference because of the interaction back and forth inside the chat room. And I think that really is the key, right? Doing live and having an interaction with the audience back and forth is a great thing, and it's a wonderful thing. Doing the Periscope and Meerkat live, where incidentally people who happen to not be doing anything watch you do stuff, is also great. Like, kind of like that, it's not scheduled live. It's just kind of like, here's this random live thing that I happen to be free and I'm going to watch, or I discovered this random live thing. And it is very random and it's very interesting. And it also tends to be very ephemeral, right? Neither Meerkat nor Periscope keep the content for any period of time, right? They disappear.
I still feel like, and this is just my jealousy, I will admit, I am jealous. I hate to say this because people are going to say I told you so. But I see these young, twinky, perfect body guys walking around with their shirts off to get girls and gay boys to watch them.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm jealous. But I will say, I think for most of them, that's why they're getting people watch them brush their teeth, you know, and eat cereal.
Well, of course, because
it's
hot. Well, yeah, but that's just it. It's visual. But my point is that people aren't scheduling. They're not going to. You'll never hear Cameron Dallas go, oh, at 7 o'clock tonight, I'm going to do something live. He's going to do something live. He uses Twitter and his other social media to point it out. And then people that can watch do. It happens to be that a lot of people follow him. But that's neither here nor there. I wanted to play this clip, if it's okay. It runs.
Yes, it's okay.
All right. It runs 4 minutes and let's see. I want to get this right. Why won't you tell me how long this is? I really hate you. I hate you, Windows. Anyway, so it runs like, I think it's like 4 minutes and 9 seconds. So the person that you're going to hear speaking primarily is a gentleman called Kevin Marks, who used to work for Apple. He used to work for Apple. Then he left there to go work for a little company called Google. And he left there to go work for a company called IndieWeb. And prior to all of that, he used to work for the British Telecom. So he's a programmer that's been around for a very long time. He was the guy that actually wrote the QuickTime live streaming piece when he worked at Apple. So it was like he's actually 15 years ago wrote live streaming video stuff that we basically deal with today. When he was at Google, he was very much involved in the YouTube aspect and a lot of the integration of videos and stuff into it. So he's definitely an expert on live streaming and live streaming video, as well as live streaming audio and keeping those things in sync. It's him speaking primarily. Also joining in the conversation are Leo Laporte, who's the head of the Twit Network, Jeff Jarvis, who is a professor at the City University of New York, and Mike Elgin, who is a really boring fucking guy that just happens to like say two or three things during the course of it. Yes. He's the news director at Twit that we don't like. Anyway, the point is it's about 4 minutes long. There it is, 4 minutes and 10 seconds long. I'm going to play it right now, and then we'll talk about it. So there you go. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
We got that, you know, we got all that stuff working, but what I realized having spent a couple of years on this is that the actual use case of live broadcasting is not very useful. And in fact, this generalizes to TV as well, because most of the time, the people aren't there ready to watch it. It's a historic artifact of television that was based on the fact that we couldn't buffer anything back in those days.
That's all we could do, right?
So, you know, television was... So all we could do was live broadcasting, radio too. There wasn't any way to record anything initially with radio, and the TV recording tape came later and was very hard to do. Videotape only came into widespread use in the 70s. And so the model was built around this live broadcast model, but everyone watching the same thing at the same time. And then we were replicating that in the computer, and actually it's not that useful most of the time. One of the advantages of the computer is that it does store things and make it easy to store things and keep multiple versions. So the actual valuable thing is Netflix and YouTube, not so much the live broadcasting part. And we struggled for a while trying to find uses for this. And what I realized was that the valuable thing is that when you have a live broadcast and the people watching it can respond to you, so you have a chat room like we have here, then it's actually useful. Then you're able to... have this back and forth, and it's useful for us as broadcasters because we're getting direct feedback on what we're saying and suggestions and things. And it's useful for you as an audience because you can have that back and forth with the people watching it. It isn't just a one-way stream. And without that piece, it doesn't make sense. So the reason these things are more interesting than what we built then is that they've built that piece into it. They were using Twitter to bootstrap that back and forth conversation. And they built that. And the challenge is still that mostly live broadcasting is very dull. Because most of the time there isn't anything interesting happening. And if anything interesting does happen, you want it recorded so that you can replay it later. And you see this with TV. Whenever the TV is like, and we're live from the political summit and we're standing outside waiting for the president to come out and say something, it's very, very dull. In fact, TV has moved away from doing that these days.
Well, even more to the point, as we learned with the Brooklyn the fire in New York City, people who are using Meerkat and Periscope aren't doing even that. They're not explaining what's happening. And so sometimes people will go to a live event and to view on Meerkat. They don't know what's going on. Nobody knew what was going on with that, and there was no expert commentary. So it's even worse than TV in that sense.
Right.
If it's worse than television.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know. So the challenge with all these things is it's also very exciting for you to be, hi, here I am live to the nation. We're doing it here now. And there is a seductive part of that. And that's been part of the problem with TV people understanding the internet over the last 15 years has been that is their mental model of it. And that's what they cared about. So a lot of the things that were built for TV over the internet were that here I am live to the nation worldview, which matters a lot to the person doing it, matters less to the people watching it. And it took a while for the people watching it to get the upper hand in terms of being able to watch what they wanted when they wanted rather than being stuck in their loop, because that was the TV's mentality as well. And to some extent, we're still stuck in that model with watching video over the net, in that we have this very elaborate setup that's designed to not buffer things. So if you're actually using a lot of these streaming services to watch video, you will get like quality dropouts and buffer glitches and stuff like that, because the way they were designed by the cable companies and the TV people and the phone companies, they all had this like real-time presumption, meant that they're not buffering enough. So there's not enough stored locally to get you over the glitches in the network. And that's something that's been gradually addressed, but mostly addressed by getting more capacity in the network than it has been by buffering things locally better. So it's one of these sort of ongoing problems with the design of things.
All right. It goes on from there. And they really talk into some very meta stuff about podcasting. So if you're not aware, Twit is a network that does live streaming video all the time, but the majority of their audience downloads these shows as podcasts, like as audio podcasts. So even though they have this entire infrastructure set up to do this live streaming video all the time, they still have the majority of their audience is the live, is the downloaded audio stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's what I like about having the interaction with the chat room, because to some extent you can tell if something is working or if the chat room is really interested in what you're saying, or sometimes you can even you can kind of borrow some things that the chat room is saying, and help what you're talking about. It makes it very different than when we used to sit in a room or we would just be on Hangouts, just the two of us. That's a song.
Two of us.
Right.
We can make it if we try. Sorry.
I prefer having the chat room because, I don't know, it feels like, I'm actually doing a show for some people, and I'm getting, right then, I'm getting feedback on what we're saying
I totally get that, right? It's kind of like the whole thing in Vegas. The great thing about Vegas is you're getting not only the immediate feedback, but it's immediate audible feedback of people that are like either laughing at something you said or basically not, right? Which is great. There is definitely a truth to be said that doing something live gives it, an extra oomph piece of energy for the people doing it. Like you and I do this show live, and there's things that we're not going to do. We're not going to do a two takes. We're not going to do three takes on something. This is live. This is our moment. We're out there. We either do it or we don't. And that gives a certain amount of energy to the performance, right? There's like a kind of like running without a net here, right? It's like, I'm going to do this and I can't fuck it up. Or if I do fuck it up, I'm going to have to cover for it, right? Granted, the stakes are not hugely high here. We're just doing a podcast about our lives, and that's not, no big, huge deal. But it does give a lot of energy to, the performers doing the thing. I think more so than, it necessarily being exciting for people to rush to hear it live. Like, I don't think people are rushing to hear it live. you know, if people are, if people are sitting around and they know us and they're friends of us and they're like, oh, they're doing a thing and I'm not doing anything, so I might, you know, I'll listen to them. And, you know, maybe they'll pop in and out of the chat room, or maybe they'll listen a little bit or whatever. But the point is that it's much more energizing for us, the performers, than it is for the audience.
Right. And you know, and honestly, any podcast, no matter how popular they are, it's like 1% or less that actually show up in the chat room when they're doing a live thing. But the more listeners you have, obviously, the more people you have show up in the chat room. But it still, it doesn't really matter the number. It's just the fact that you're having that interaction. And, you know, I do know that nights when we come in and like no one is around, you know, like a Super Bowl or, you know, something where people have other things to do, it makes it a little bit more difficult for us to do the show just because we don't have any interaction there, you know, with other people. And the other thing I'll say is the thing I think that keeps that percentage so low, and it may be more than 1%, but I think the thing that keeps it so low is the people who listen to podcasts specifically got into listening to podcasts because it was a recorded thing that they could play at their convenience, you know, when they were running or doing, you know, at the gym or in the car, or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, you can make that case, right? Or is the other people that listen to podcasts, I think, are people who just don't particularly care for the corporate diet of shows, right? The corporate diet of, like, if you like talk, there's a corporate diet of talk that is very formulaic and very kind of boring and just very kind of mundane, right? Whereas podcast kind of breaks that mold where it's like, now you can listen to talk on an infinite number of subjects. Right. You can find a subject that interests you or something that you find interesting to listen to that is not necessarily, like, you know, doesn't kowtow to some kind of, like, we have to fit into this very rigid kind of a mold kind of a thing. Anyway, regardless.
Speaking of, did you listen to that podcast that I suggested this week?
One moment there, Adam. I must answer the phone because that is my job. Hello.
Hello, DI Plusers. Okay, so a TV evangelicist, I can't say that word.
Yes.
Robert Shuler.
Yes.
TV evangelist.
Power of power. Yes.
Anyway, Dad, this is Bacon, and I don't think he should get points.
Oh.
I just don't.
Okay.
All right. Well.
There you go. Robert Shuler, the TV televangelist who built the very expensive and then later went bankrupt Crystal Cathedral in Southern California.
In his defense.
Yes.
In his defense.
Yes.
It didn't go bankrupt until he was not the pastor there anymore.
True.
So I think it was, he was part of the draw to some extent, and maybe mismanagement and other things that kind of the congregation dwindled after he's
regardless, whether or not you agree with him, which I, Kathy Bacon, definitely do not agree with Robert Shuler, but I can recognize the fact that he was indeed a celebrity, and that is what this is all about.
My mom,
yes,
when I was growing up, every Sunday morning we had Hour of Power on the television screen as we were getting ready to go to church. So we got a double dose.
A double dose of fun things going on Sunday. All right,
yes.
So there you go, Adam. I mean, I didn't want to go too meta into the whole thing, but like some of the people in the chat room are saying that they love podcasts because they can listen on demand and fill my day with what I'm hearing. And I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's 2015. I don't want to say this because I don't want to offend anyone, but most people who are in the slightest bit technically savvy don't watch live anything. They don't listen to live radio. They don't listen to live TV. You know, they don't watch live TV. It's like they pretty much are in control of what they want to watch when they want to watch it. I think for the most part, there are so many things that allow you to time shift what you want to do. I mean, more so even than just like 5 years ago.
It's actually a compliment that they don't want to listen live because they want to, because a lot of people don't want to miss anything and they want to listen to it when they can actually, you know, hear the whole thing recorded. Right. Like one reason I don't listen to Twitter live a lot is because I listen to stuff at work. And what'll happen is someone will come to my desk or something like that and I'll get interrupted. And if I was listening live, I've missed that.
Yeah.
And then it would be very difficult to go back and download the recording and remember where I was on a live thing and, you know, do all that kind of stuff and go there. So in some senses, if someone doesn't want to listen live, it's because they want to be able to hit the pause button if something happens and they have to.
Yeah, and I have two listening. Distinct lists. You know, I have two distinct sets of podcasts that I listen to. I listen to the ones that I listen to at night when I'm going to bed, which I don't care if I miss something on. So they're tech podcasts and news podcasts that I like, Rachel Maddow and stuff like that, that I just let play while I'm going to bed. And I don't worry about going back and listening to them. And then there's the podcast that I listen to as I commute, and that I things that are on my phone that I listen to, you know, actively during the day or during the week. And those are the ones that I do. Like when I pause, when I stop at a store and get out of my car, that pauses, I get back in my car, it starts picking up, playing where I live. So I don't ever really miss any of those things that are happening there. I am so gassy tonight. I'm so sorry. I apologize. The news.
So this is just an interesting story, at least to me. Brain cancer, also known as glioblastoma, which we all learned while watching Grey's Anatomy, are the last two words any patient wants to hear from their doctor.
Yes.
Patients who have received this diagnosis have likened it to a death sentence. Oddly enough, what was also considered a death sentence 50 years ago could end up giving brain cancer patients a fighting shot. Researchers from the Preston Robert Tisch Brain Tumor Center at Duke University have re-engineered the polio virus to cure brain tumors by removing a key genetic sequence. Polio is an infectious disease caused by a virus that often results in irreversible paralysis and death. Following a global effort to eradicate the disease, the number of polio cases around the world has decreased from an estimated 350,000 in 88 to 416 in 2013. So cancers, all human cancers, they develop a shield or a shroud of protective measures that help make them invisible to the immune system, the doctor says at the university.
It's like Harry Potter with the invisibility cloak.
Right. He's a professor of neuromancy? No, neurosurgery.
Ooh, a professor of neuromancy would be more interesting, though.
Molecular genetics and microbiology. So neurosurgery, molecular genetics, and microbiology. He told CBS the 60 Minutes.
He's just like a classic overachiever. It's like, whatever, nice. With your degrees, whatever.
And he said, this is precisely what we want to try to reverse with our virus. So by infecting the tumor, we are actually removing this protective shield and enabling the immune system to come in and attack.
See, so, Station remembers the book Neuromancer.
So I know this is just at a university, but I think that's very interesting that they've come up with a way possibly to infect a tumor.
Yes.
With a virus.
And this is not new, by the way. A lot of the early AIDS research stuff, because I happen to work for a research, well, I work for a library. I work for a hospital corporation that's near a research laboratory at Yale. So a lot of the research stuff that is being done in AIDS has to do with re-engineering viruses, because those are the things that latch onto the cells and have the ability to inherently to inject themselves into the cells. So by repurposing viruses that would otherwise check onto that. One of the most classic examples of this is Chantix. I don't know if you're familiar with Chantix. Chantix is a drug that helps people quit smoking. And what it does is it mimics the nicotine molecule in the sense that it attaches itself to the receptors that nicotine would attach to, but it does not give you the same sensation that nicotine was, but it prevents the nicotine from attaching to the cells. Like it goes in and attaches itself first, and it prevents the nicotine from attaching on. So there's a lot of cool things going on in the thing. Oh, by the way, Kathy Marshall was here in the chat room, and now she's saying goodnight. Oh, wait, no, maybe she's saying goodnight to Toppy. Never mind. Kathy Marshall is still here in the chat room. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Toppy is saying goodnight.
Toppy Smelly is very old. He's very old, and he needs to sleep, and he must now.
As are a lot of our – well, I don't want to say that about
as a lot of our are a lot of our listeners. They're very old people that need their sleep.
I don't want to say that. Anyway, there you go. There's just an interesting story, a little flavor change from our normal news stories. But just veering back over a little bit, University of Mississippi student, which, by the way, is my alma mater.
Now UM is the Bulldogs?
It's Ole Miss and it's the Rebels.
No, that would be Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is University of Mississippi.
No. University of Mississippi are the Bulldogs.
No. That's Mississippi State. I know.
You can't spell scum without UM. That's University of Mississippi, and that would be the Bulldogs.
I'm sorry. University of Mississippi is Ole Miss. I know this for a fact. I went there. You can't argue. I went there.
No, I can argue. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be right to argue. I mean, I can still argue and be wrong.
Anyway, so University of Mississippi student was caught on camera biting the head off a hamster or a mouse. He was removed from the school by his parents, they said in a statement. A video of Brady Eaves, a freshman at Ole Miss, biting the head off a rodent while on spring break in Destin, Florida, because that's what you do.
Brady who?
Thieves.
Spell it.
E-A-V-E-S.
Okay, got it.
Because, you know, when I go to Destin, Florida for spring break, I want to, you know, bite the head off of a hamster. That's just, you know, what I do.
He's kind
of
cute.
Anyway, it went viral.
Yeah, he's kind of cute.
After being posted online by the Daily Mail. You know, maybe he should, you know, meerkat that or periscope.
Well, he was playing the guitar at the time. It would be very difficult for him to meerkat it while playing the guitar.
Playing a guitar and biting the head off of a hamster?
Well, so how would he meerkat it? What would he hold the camera with?
I don't know. Anyway, his parents issued a statement, because that's what you do, saying they removed Eves from the school. We have withdrawn him from school and fully intend on professionally assessing why he behaved in such a horrible way and what we must do as a family to keep this type of behavior happening again.
Yeah, but if you scroll down, this is why, because his douchebag parents are like politicians. His stepfather, John Arthur Eves Jr., pictured with his mother, Angel Eves, during the 2007 campaign for governor of Mississippi.
So this is totally a good wife thing, you know, where the children are trying to rebel, you know, against their political family or whatever.
All right, fine.
Anyway, so basically they removed him. So it doesn't say whether the school was going to do that or not.
I think hamster headbiting is actually a class at Ole Miss.
It could be. He was probably just drunk.
Really?
Look, I'm not condoning biting the heads off of hamsters. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying most things that happen at Ole Miss that you might consider to be crazy.
I happen to know this. I happen to know that there is someone in the chat room of our show tonight that electrocuted eels. I'm just saying.
Wow. And lastly,
I think it was eels. Might have been
veering
oysters.
Back away from the craziness of biting heads from hamsters.
Yes.
The CEO of Walmart stores.
The CEO of Walmart stores.
Yes.
Who is his name? What is this gentleman's name?
Oh, God. What's his name?
Doug McMillon.
Asked the governor of Arkansas on Tuesday to veto the religious freedoms measure, saying the bill approved by lawmakers earlier in the day undermines, quote, the spirit of inclusion in the state.
Yes.
So he's the, again, I said he, Doug
so
McMillon.
So what was he talking about, Adam? What was it that he was talking about?
He was talking about that religious freedom thing.
What was that, Adam? What exactly was that religious freedom thing?
It's the thing we talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah, but, you know, just in case I wasn't paying attention, you know, like, give me just the elevator spiel on it. What was it?
Basically, there are a bunch of religious groups who feel that it is their right to refuse service to anyone, really, based on their religion. So if they don't agree with someone, how they act or what they're doing because of their religion.
Can we just clarify that for a moment? There are a bunch of Christian groups, not a bunch of religious groups. Because I'm not seeing a bunch of Jewish groups or a bunch of Islamic groups or a bunch of
what
like.
What
you
meant
know,
to say was Jews.
I'm just saying. I don't see a lot of the only groups I see are the Christian groups.
Okay. Well, anyway, so there you have it. So my company that people love to make fun of, by the way.
Yes. Was that you?
And the fact that I work for them and whatever else has come out and said that they are not in support of that
bill. Well, good for them.
And I don't know the entire rest of the story, although I know that the next day several changes were made to the bill. And I don't know whether they were to the extent that they needed to be because I haven't done that research. But based on Walmart saying that they didn't approve, they went back to the drawing board and
So some changes were made to the Indiana bill.
Arkansas's as well.
Okay, but I'm saying Indiana's had already been enacted. And then they went back and tried to fix it retroactively there by saying, oh, no, we don't mean that you can actually discriminate against people. We just meant in spirit. In spirit, you can, you know. But yeah, it doesn't really matter.
So I'm happy that my company, and you know, we have a GLBT group. You know, they recently, well, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, they will now allow you to have your domestic partner on your insurance. So Walmart's making strides, you know, and being inclusive.
There you go.
So there you go. That is all the news that I have.
I believe you have some device connected that is playing sounds.
I do.
Okay, good.
But I
just
want to
make sure there wasn't over here. All right. It was Joe Batance, by the way, that made the sound. I was just saying. Joe Batance, by saying something in a chat room somewhere, made a sound. That's all I'm saying. It's not here. It's on your end.
No, I don't have a device that's connected to that. That's connected to the soundboard.
That's weird because I don't either. And yet, there it is.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
It is the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play musical cues of somebody's birthday and I, using only my head, brain, and word mouse, will try to figure out who exactly it is. Did I say word mouse? I meant mouth words. My head, brain, and my mouth words to figure out whose birthday it is without cheating.
Yeah, that's me. I didn't think I had that app on my tablet.
And yet you do. Exactly right.
And I don't think I can, in the middle of a show, figure out how to turn off the notifications from that app.
All right, now, here we go, Adam. Tell me, what is our first musical? Well, actually, play for me. The first musical cue of the evening.
All right, here we go. It might seem crazy
what I'm about to say. Now, you know, this is a bit of deja vu here. I believe I heard this earlier in the show.
Spoiler.
And for whatever reason, the first thing that popped in my head was Bobby McFerrin. Even I know it's not Bobby McFerrin. This is Ferrell. Correct?
Well, I don't think that's how you pronounce it, but yes.
Oh, is it Ferrell?
I think it's Ferrell.
Ferrell?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's Ferrell. He who wears the silly hats.
Yes. So are you saying that is your birthday choice?
That is my guess. Ferrell.
Yes, it is Ferrell. So Ferrell is actually much older than I thought he was. He is a very youthful looking man. I think
we
it's because black don't crack.
Black don't crack, which is not racist at all.
I've heard black people say that before.
They're allowed to say again. Joe again, and Dallas. They are.
Look, I am one with my black brothers. And anyway, Ferrell is 42 years old.
42 years young.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that. I thought he was in his 30s. But
there
anyway.
There you go.
There you go. So here is our next one.
Oh! You take them both, and there you have The Facts of Life. This is the theme to the Peabody Award-winning Facts of Life program on television.
Have I ever said I love this show?
I don't know. Have you?
I love it.
Do you love this show?
I do.
Still or just then?
I still love it.
So you've seen it recently and you still love it? Or was it like I have fond memories? Because here's the thing. I have been burned by this before. It was like, oh, I love Space 1999. It was the greatest show. And then I see it now and I'm like, oh, this is crap. This is like total crap. What the fuck was I thinking? I'm just saying, Facts of Life. I think if you were to go back and watch a few episodes of The Facts of Life, you would not be so in love with it.
Well, that happened to me on the Thundercats. Because yes. I really have fond memories of the Thundercats. But most cartoons that are not aimed at adults,
yes,
if you go back and watch them as an adult, it doesn't matter how much you loved them as a child.
Yes.
You lose interest in about 30 seconds.
That kind of was my point. Like, I think Facts of Life had a very specific audience that I think that you were no longer in. Anyway, it was the Facts of Life, so it could be one of five women.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have another song for this person, but people might have thought she was a lesbian at one point.
Got it. It was Nancy McKeon, who played Joe.
Yes. In fact, I don't know. I think she's married to a guy, but
she was not a lesbian. Yeah.
She seems to me to be a lesbian. If she's not a lesbian, I think she should be a lesbian. But I don't think she is. I don't think she is. Anyway, Nancy McKeon, who did have a brief stint on, I don't know if it was brief. I'm just pulling that out of my ass. She was on The Division as well, which is like some USA or Lifetime like cop show as well. Anyway, she is 49 years old.
49 years young.
Yep. So here's our next one. Here we go. Dark as shame,
darling, dark as shame. This is Mr. Vegas. Thank you. Wayne Newton singing Don Machine.
It is.
Huh? It's Wayne Newton.
Yeah, actually, I chose this. He looks like he's 12.
Oh, he sounds like a woman.
In this album cover that I'm looking at here.
Yes.
I found some of him singing the same song much older.
Yes.
But he sounded much better at that age, the young age, than he does in his older age. So I chose that one. Anyway, Wayne Newton, who I don't know if he's still performing in Vegas or not. I think he's not.
I don't think so.
But I think that was relatively recent, like within the past 5 years or so that he stopped.
He has not been performing in Vegas any time that we've been there.
Anyway, Wayne Newton is 73 years old.
73 years young.
Yeah. All right. So we have three more.
Three more. Here we go.
And you're doing well.
I know. I am doing well. This is the theme to the Peabody Award-winning Cheers. Taking your way in
the world today. Yes.
So this could be any one of four gentlemen or two women. Actually, three women.
I'll narrow it down a little bit and say, because I don't want to hear you go through the whole list. A waitress.
Okay, so it is one of the three women.
Possibly a crabby waitress.
I'm going to say it's Rhea Perlman.
Yes, it is. Rhea, is she still married to Danny DeVito? Because I know they were having some marital problems.
I don't know. I think maybe. Let's see. Rhea Perlman. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, as the news director of the iPlus, you should know this. It still says that she partnered Danny DeVito 2013 on. However, her spouse was Danny DeVito until 2012. So apparently in 2012 they got a divorce, but they're still together?
Could be. I know they were having some marital issues at one point that were in the news or, you know, whatever, the tabloids. Anyway, Rhea Perlman is 67 years old.
And yet she seems like she would be so much older.
Well, I think she has one of those faces, one of those looks that kind of looked old even when she was young. So, at least to me. So, I don't know. Anyway. All right, here is the next one. Let me turn that volume up a little. Here we go.
This is My Heart Will Go On.
It is, yes.
Sung by Celine Dion.
It is also sung by Celine Dion.
Important,
as well.
Fun fact here. I went and saw a drag show on my birthday. And the drag queen, a friend of mine that was performing that night, for her third number, came out and played this song on her oboe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did she do a good job?
Well, yes, she is. She actually goes to Yale School of Music as an oboist. So she actually is a very, very good oboist. And yeah, so yes, she played the song as an oboe. It was great.
Cool. So is that your guess? You're not telling me.
My guess is yes. My guess is not Veronica Mann, the drag queen, but in fact, Celine Dion.
Well,
yes.
It could have been. So I have been known to pull that theme for Leonardo DiCaprio
or Kate Winslet. Yes.
What's her name? Yes.
Yeah, the Kate,
naked
Winslet.
Woman.
Kate Winslet. I just said that.
Yeah, Kate Winslet. Yes. But no, it is in fact Celine Dion. Can I just say, because I was watching a live, this was a live performance of that song. And did you know that solo is a penny whistle? At least that's what.
I did not. It makes total sense. Now that you say that, does make total sense. But no, I did not know that.
At least it looks like a penny whistle. I could be wrong. There might be some other name. They could be calling it a recorder. But back when I was in elementary school, I got this thing called a penny whistle. It looked just like that. Anyway, she is very dramatic when she's singing. She's doing all these hand up in the air and then
it's very
down.
Vegas. She should get her own Vegas show.
You know, like this. And it's not like a Mariah Carey dramatic where Mariah just has to move her hand when she's singing. It's like these very choreographed, throw my hand up in the air and then slowly bring it down and then put it on my hip. You know, stuff like that. Anyway, she's 47, which I thought she would be much older than that.
You always think everyone would be much older.
Well, you thought Rhea Perlman would be much older than she is. I'm just saying I thought Celine Dion would be much older than she is. All right, last one of the evening. You ready for this?
I am ready.
Okay.
This is the theme to Tell me why I love you like I do. Tell me who. It's very loud. Can you turn it down a bit? This is the theme to Mad About You. Correct?
Yes, it is.
Mad About You. And I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Helen Hunt.
It's not, but you did have, you did
right,
have
all
a
right, all right, all right. I'm going to go with Paul Reiser. Is what I really meant to say.
Oh, that was kind of quiet. I'll do it again. Yeah, it's Paul Reiser. It's Paul Reiser.
That was a really nice fade. That was a nice fade on that music there.
Thank you. Thank you. I you know, I pride myself in my fading ability.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so Paul Reiser is, you know, he looks very old now to
again,
me.
All right, tonight is the night of people that don't look their age. So Paul Reiser is what?
He's 58 years old.
58 years young. Exactly.
58 years old, and yeah, that's it.
All right, great. That's it. Those are the birthdays. Those are the birthdays, but you know what, Adam? We do have some other birthdays that are happening over on the oldpride48.com. We would like to say a very happy birthday on April 3rd to Mags, on April 6th to Ant. And when is our next show? Our next show is the 12th. And on April 10th to Hunt. So,
you know, back in the day, we like to refer to Ant as old fuzzy butts.
Really? Yeah, welcome to, you know, welcome to birthday. That doesn't make sense. Happy birthday to Mags and to Ant and to Hunt. From your friends here at DI Plus. If you would like to have your birthday listed on the Pride 48 website, make sure you sign up for a Pride 48 account and then check the checkbox that says, yes, I would like my birthday to be shown on the, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I would like my birthday to be shown.
You know?
Great job! Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you. See you soon. Hasta luego.
Bye, Dora.
Excellent. It is the time of the show where we like to play the many numerous hundreds of voicemails that we get from our listeners. What?
Well, I know we're in a segment. You don't like me to do this, but
no,
I was going to say.
Sorry. Yeah, you almost interrupted Dora there. Yes.
Speaking of fuzzy butts, why in like television shows will they blur a butt crack?
Yes.
But they won't blur cleavage. I mean, they're both just cracks in our body, right? I mean, it's, you know, who hasn't seen a butt crack? You have a plumber come over.
Yeah, but that's not like saying, all right, why would they blur a penis and not blur like a thumb? They're both just appendages. I mean, it's just like.
Well, I just don't think.
I don't know. We arbitrarily have decided that certain things are dirty. We've just as a society, we've decided arbitrarily that, you know, it's not OK to show people fucking, but it's OK to show people blowing each other or shooting their heads off. Or it's OK to show a graphic explosion of somebody's head with brain splattering out and everything. And that's fine to show young kids. But God forbid that we show two people doing a natural act or, you know, like
right.
having
anyway,
sex.
Anyway, sorry, I know that was.
Now I know you're going to get me. Now you've got me all angried up in the blood. Let's go to our phone call here and see if we can like calm
you're
that
gonna,
down
I
a little
love
bit.
It.
I have a phone call here coming in from Zach. Let's listen to it, shall we?
Christianity.
Great. I love that.
That's it.
That was it? That was the entire phone call?
That is the entire phone call.
The entire phone call was?
Christianity.
How do you know it was Zach?
Because I have his phone number stored. See, what you people don't know is when you call me one, I shouldn't say this. I mean, I think a lot of you do know this because I've mentioned it on numerous occasions.
Yes.
But when you call in... And you've never called in before, as long as you say your name, mm-hmm. I record that in a database that I have.
In a database, which is probably just a, what? It's not a database. It's probably
it's a text file.
It's a text file.
I have a text file.
You're anyway. trying to make it sound like much more. It's an entire database of names that I have
kept.
The
DI Plus
I have
database.
Kept on this little three-ring binder, yeah. This three-ring database binder that I have kept here.
And some of you even have more than one phone number, and I have, like, RT Cruiser has more than one, or he did
my
at
God,
one point.
If anything ever happens to anyone in the Pride 48 community, it's Adam's fault. Adam knows where you live.
So I have a script. I have a computer script mm-hmm. Python script that downloads the voicemails and names them for me.
Well, there you go.
So,
thank you, Zach, for that lovely chant of Christianity. We appreciate it. Well, Adam appreciates it. I don't.
Well, I don't know what the point of it was.
We don't have another.
I appreciate every call.
We don't have another voicemail, but I do have a paid announcement that I would like to play at this point.
Okay.
If you like to watch RuPaul's Drag Race and you are a fan of the show, you might want to check out the RuPaul Drag Race recap show, available at pride48.com/RDRR, where Jovatance, myself, and Donna Sugars take you through each week's episode every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. 8 p.m.? At 8 p.m. on pride48.com. There you go. Thank you.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. Apparently it's a story.
Yeah. And if you want to call Dubious Intent, you can give us a call at a phone number.
At a phone number that we don't know. I know the phone number.
Located over at our website.
I know where the phone number is and everything. Anyway, so those were our voicemails and our emails that we got this week. So let me get us out of this segment real quick.
Oh, wait.
I've hit the button, Adam.
Sorry. I have to mention this. The news story about the religious freedom bill or whatever.
Yes.
Was actually recommended by a listener who emailed us, Lamont Cranston.
Lamont Cranston. Yeah. Who, by the way, listens to the RuPaul Drag Race recap show.
Yeah, there wasn't really much in the email to read it. He just said that he thought of me when he saw the story, so he sent me the link to it. So I just want to credit him. Thank you, Lamont, for emailing. And we did discuss it on the show tonight.
So there you go. So it's kind of like you had your very own little segment of DI Plus. So, but before you become too comfortable and decide that you want to be the co-host here on the show, I'd just like to remind you, I was here first. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. I didn't cut you off, right?
No, sorry, I was thinking.
Oh, great. Well, you know, it's always nice for you just to be thinking while the ending's playing. You know,
you weren't the first co-host because you've actually been you were the host.
Yes.
So actually, I wasn't even the first co-host, so neither.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to make a point, and it makes no sense. You, sir, have been the only co-host on DI Plus. You and I are the only two co-hosts on DI Plus ever.
Well, that's true, DI Plus,
yes.
But the previous incarnation.
Well, we don't care about the previous incarnation. That's irrelevant.
So
those people are dead to me.
Incarnation?
Those are dead to me, especially here on Easter Sunday. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.